Our readings today have been from Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15, and chapter 7, 54 to 60, and also from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. I wonder if you have ever met an angel. To the best of my knowledge, I don't believe I have. If you were to meet an angel, what do you suppose it might look like? I think it might be easier to say what an angel wouldn't look like, wouldn't it? I wouldn't expect an angel to be grumpy or mean. I wouldn't expect them to frown or be selfish or prideful. The main character in our reading today is said to look like an angel. You might like to consider what the writer really meant by that. Last week, we heard that the early church grew and grew, and as more people found faith, it was necessary to take practical steps to make sure everyone was properly looked after. The church identified suitable helpers for the apostles, deacons, who could support them by attending to the practical running of the church. Their names were Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parnemas, Nicholas. They worked really hard at the day-to-day running of the church, leaving the apostles free to preach and teach and pray for people in Jesus' name. It was a really successful system. People served each other humbly, people played to their strengths, and the church grew as a result. Stephen was the chap who headed up this team. We don't hear about him either before or after today's reading, so we don't know what his profession prior to that was. He might have been a shopkeeper or a plumber. He could have been a fisherman or an accountant. We're not told. What we are told about him is that he was considered wise, and his actions show that he was courageous and full of integrity. He had a very strong and active faith, and he was full of the grace of God. Everything he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think he sounds like a real asset to the team, someone humble enough to serve the community in Jesus' name, but bold enough to take the lead, skilled at coordinating teams of volunteers and determined to do the right thing, even if it wasn't popular with everyone. Stephen humbly goes about his practical tasks, and whilst he does so, he tells people about Jesus. He's living and telling the story of his faith. I wonder if we find ourselves doing that. Do we buckle down to whatever job we do and do it well in order to honour God? And whilst we work, do we show people what it means to follow Jesus? Do we speak and act in such a way that people see in us something of Jesus our Lord? Whatever we do, do we work with integrity? Are we kind and cheerful to our colleagues? And are we courteous and trustworthy? It's not always necessary to be talking about faith. Francis of Assisi is famous for saying, "Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words." Well, it's debated whether or not he actually said that, but it is certainly a good representation of the Franciscan way of life, to live out what you say you believe. We're told that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and lived in this way. God used him powerfully because he was willing to give his whole self to the task that God had given him. Being such a person of integrity allowed him many an opportunity to speak of Jesus as he worked. Some people found faith through their interactions with him, but others found his message too challenging. His complete insistence that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, as John 3:16, felt to some like too much of a challenge to the traditional Jewish teaching that God cared for the Jews and that he was to be found only in the temple. They couldn't refute his arguments, so wise were his words, and they had to resort to lies and false accusations to bring him before the religious court, which is called the Sanhedrin. Well, I wonder who that might remind you of. He had complete confidence in God, his Father, and as a result, his composure gave him a look that people supposed resembled the face of an angel. I don't think it's always easy to remain calm and to listen carefully, to speak with humble sincerity and with care when you're under attack, is it? It's altogether easier to fight back, to become rude or dismissive, to give as much as you get, we might say. But this is not what Stephen chose to do. I wonder how you might have responded. We didn't read his whole speech from chapter 7, as it's rather lengthy, but Stephen calmly and clearly gives the Sanhedrin a history lesson from their own scriptures about how God has worked with his people and yet how they ultimately rejected him. He shared with them God's call to Abraham and his promises to him. He spoke of Joseph and his brothers and how God used his devotion to rescue his family from famine. He reminded them of Moses and how, at God's command, he led them out of slavery and into the promised land. When God's truth is declared, it convicts people of their sin, and God wants to forgive them. When the gospel is heard, some people repent, and others do not. The religious leaders did not respond well. Now, I fear I might have run away at this point, but Stephen didn't allow fear to prevent him from honouring God. Even his dying words reflect Jesus and his wish to see people saved and their sins forgiven. Jesus had predicted that his gospel of peace would not be accepted by all and that some people would be persecuted for following him. That's in John 15, verse 20. Even today, the internet tells me that there are 388 million Christians worldwide who face persecution for a profession of the Christian faith. Believers in North Korea, Somalia and Yemen, Sudan, Eritrea and Syria, Nigeria, Pakistan, Libya and Iran all daily face extreme danger merely professing Jesus as Lord. Paul's letter to Timothy acknowledges that this will be so and urges us not to give up on account of opposition, but rather to expect it and to resist it in Jesus' name. That's 2 Timothy 3:10 to 12. Stephen was the first martyr in the early church, the first of many who followed Jesus to the very end. Scholars estimate that maybe 70 million believers over the last 2,000 years have been martyred for professing their faith in Jesus. I wonder, if you knew your life was about to come to an end, what would you be most concerned to say or do? For Jesus, the most important thing is that people know that God loves them. He tasked his disciples with sharing the gospel in just the same way as he had been doing, offering freedom from evil spirits, healing every disease and raising the dead in his name. As a to-do list, that sounds to me a little bit daunting. However, he's asking them merely to live as he lived, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to show grace and compassion to all they meet and to imitate him as they share the gospel. For him, it's the most important thing that people should know that they're loved and could be set free from fear and pain in his name. I wonder what it would look like for us to live as Jesus lived in our context. At college or with our neighbours, in our place of work or amongst our family. What would it look like to live as Jesus lived? To show grace and compassion in every exchange, to seek to convey God's love in every word or action to those we live amongst. To look to serve our neighbour and point them to Jesus with a generous disregard for our own comfort or advancement. It might not be very easy. We might be misunderstood, and Jesus expected that the world would not often value his message. But Jesus' message to his followers is one of generosity. Freely you have received, freely give, he says in Matthew chapter 10. We know that we've been saved and restored to right relationship with our Heavenly Father by his grace alone. Not because we're clever or good enough in our own right. That is beyond even the best of us. No. Eternal life is offered as a free gift to anyone who will accept it in Jesus' name. This is how we've received it, and so we must seek to give away this free gift to anyone we can. In word or deed, we should make it our aim to let others know how much God loves them. Jesus said to his disciples, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops." That we are loved unconditionally has been whispered to our hearts by the King of Kings. And he challenges us to share that good news with anyone who will listen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, make us instruments of your peace and your saving kingdom wherever we go. Give us courage and generous hearts to live as you lived and to give away freely that which we have received freely from you.